Anyway, he's from Fort Bragg, which is probably in eastern North Carolina on the Piedmont. And his title of his talk is Established in the Low-Growing Vegetations. It's the kind of a takeoff on what Ian's doing at Fort Drum. Darren sent me 40 slides to tell you all about how wonderful Fort Bragg is, to tell you about the seed mixtures he uses that are tropical, like the Bermuda grass and the Bahia grass. Well, I dropped all that. So suffice it to say that Fort Bragg is a very active place and very beautiful, and he does use a lot of Bahia grass and Bermuda grass. And I'm mostly focused in on our work with the fine fescues, and that's what I'm going to be talking about today. Well, Fort Bragg is is where from where Melody is from. It's in North Carolina Sand Hills region. It's a humid area. We have very acidic soils there that are nutrient poor. And we're expanding our research down to this area from the Northeast. And I'll get more into that later. But one of the important things that commanders ask before they approve anything, either financially or give their blessing to doing something, is why should I do that? And one of the major reasons is because if you don't do it, you'll go to jail. And we have a Sediment Pollution Control Act. I remember when I first started working for the Army, I asked this one commander for money, and he says, "Why should I give you any money?" He says, "I looked out this window yesterday, I saw dirt. I look out today, and I still see dirt. It's still there. Why do I need to control erosion?" Well, if you don't control the erosion, you're breaking the law. And that's really our important aspect to remember. And as in Fort Bragg, the soils are highly erodible. So they have issues with wear tolerance, either from troop training, same as Ian has, troop training or with track vehicles. They also have a lot of landing zones they have to keep open for parachute jumps. And those also have to be kept pretty level because when the new troops come out, they break a lot of ankles jumping out of airplanes, which is not good. So you have to keep the land smooth as possible. So what we're doing at Fort Bragg is we're building on the results that we found out at Fort Drum. And one of the first things we did, as Melody said, we went to visit her, about six or seven people from the ITAM program at Bragg went about 20 miles north to North Carolina, where her facility is. We had a nice day with her, and we could show them what fine fescues look like. There are different species of fine fescues. We explained it all to them, so they have a better understanding of what to expect when we seeded these grasses. We also explored with Dave Huff at Penn State, we explored the trials of the USDA ARS. I don't know, Melody, maybe you can help me. They have the turf grass trials at different universities in the Northeast. NTEP, okay. And then we couldn't find any for North Carolina, but we found some from Virginia, and they rated cultivars of the fescues for heat tolerance. So we were kind of, and we did our own literature review, so we brought all this information together. And plus showing them what these grasses look like to try to design an experiment to try to get fine fescues to grow at Fort Bragg. Now, Melody showed you a lot of top growth stuff, a lot of the aesthetic stuff. We're not really too interested in that. If we have a plant loss of 50% and the plants that are left there increase their root growth, so there's more root area per plant in that soil, that's fine with us. And we're just trying to control erosion and have something there that can take the pounding of the vehicles. So, and on sandy soils, it seems like the fine fescues, they don't get ripped. They just get squished down. So, and they're not hurt so bad by that. So we're using all this information to try to find the cultivars that are right for this site. Oh yeah, we have to thank the Army Environmental Command for funding this work for us. So, and we did receive seed, although we received it sporadically. I hope your cultivars are in here, because some of it came in very late after I left. So I don't know if they were yours or not, but we'll see. But we are going back and seed some more. So the soils are the same as Bragg. They have at Drum. I know the sands are sandy soils are about 92% sand, and the rest silt and clay. We set up 4 experiments. We had a sunny sandy soil, a sunny clay soil, a shady sand, and a shady clay. And these 4 kinds of sites covered most of their facility. So every problem they have could be handled mostly in these 4 kinds of sites. Can you read those? We had Treasure, Chewing's Fescue, Oxford Hard Fescue, Aurora, Gold Hard, Little Bighorn, Blue Gray, Firefly. I can't read them. I'll try to read them to you. SR3210, Reliant 4, and SR3150. Did any of yours make it, Melody?
Yep.
Okay, good. I'm glad. Because we didn't know where they came from. We just got these bags. So, but we have a different smattering of the different species that are contained in the fine fescues group. And that's a confusing thing to tell people fine fescue, because they think that's a species and then they spec that. But there is no such thing as a grass, so it's very confusing. So what we had was 9 cultivars, and we replicated them 3 times at different locations. So the number one, the layout, that's our sandy, shady site. You can see it. And one of the important things that we found out about planting grasses in sand is that you have to roll the soil. And they never did that before. There is a major difference between Fort Drum and Fort Bragg. At Fort Drum, if we till the soil, the grasses do not come up. We fluff that soil up. The sands dry out very rapidly, and the plants die for lack of moisture. Fort Bragg, it must be a different sand texture. I have no idea why, but they till the soil all the time. They rototill. And they've had a lot of success getting plants established. So we didn't till that much here because we just didn't do it at Drum. So I kept the same procedures. But rolling is also really, really important. And then we seeded first and then rolled. And then we didn't mulch. We never mulch because that's too much of a cost factor. And then we erected the wire fences cost to keep the troops out. And then we monitored the plots. You can see the kind of establishment we got. This is like 1 month after seeding. And you can see we're getting pretty good establishment on every plot. And I don't know if I have a photo of the next one. Yes, we do. And this is after the winter was over. You can see the kind of establishment we're getting. The sunny clay, of course, you get better establishment than the sands. But even on the sunny sand, you know, to get that kind of cover and make sure those plants, they're not going to be mowed, they're not going to be stressed, and we can always refertilize. So to get that kind of root system growing to hold that sand would be fantastic, because we've noticed that Fort Drum with the individual fine fescue plants, I mean, the sand will come whipping through an open turf area, and the sands will not move that much. So unless you get a lot of wind and turf really opens up.
Did you just establish those just with natural rainfall?
Yes, right. And we did use fertilizer and lime. Here's some of the data. They're really, this shows the means for plant cover just in November and April. We're taking the data now for the fall. But you can see there's differences statistically between the different cultivars, but it's not that great. We get a mean percent cover in a month that ranges from, 21 to 38%, which is pretty good. So that's not bad at all. And in April, you can see that the percent cover went up through the winter months, and we got almost a 60% cover on some of these. So, and none of them, there were no significant differences between the cultivars. So we're getting pretty good results with this. And I called Aaron last week, and the plants did survive through this summer that we had, which was very dry and hot down there. So the plants did survive, and if we can maybe go back down maybe and split the plots and maybe refertilize them or something. So I got one more data slide. Cover the respective location. So, and we are getting differences. The sunny sand, let's say the sunny sand has the best cover. in the following April had the worst cover. Anyway, those are the covers with different locations. We're going back now. Ian talked about the ecological bridge concept. What we're doing here on this one is just looking at different fine fescues. That's all we're doing. Fort Drum does not want to seed native plants because native plants, one, they take a long time to come up. Two, they're very expensive to seed. So they don't want anything to do with it. But they're under a lot of pressure to seed native plants. So what we're doing now, we just got additional funding from the Environmental Command to look at seeding fine fescues again, but at different rates, to see if the natives either can come in on their own or will seed a low seeding rate with natives. So they're very excited about this. As a matter of fact, when we put in their plots on their own, they seeded some plots with native plants in it. So they're looking at the ecological bridge concept to get native plants going. So those are the next steps in this research that we're doing there. And any questions?
Is there for any commercial varieties of paragrass, or not varieties but sources?
Yes, it's about, was it $40 or $50 a pound, I think, isn't it, Tim? Yeah, we've used some at Fort Drum that broke the bank, and we use mostly bearing, tufted hair grass, not the bearing. We use both, but tufted I think is the one. We didn't have much success, but that's the most successful.
Any other questions for Tony?
Yes. Yes. That's what it is.
Well, if there's no other questions, you can go to the end.